Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Let's span the festival globe, why don't we? The What Podcast, Barry Corder, Brad Steiner, Lord Taco, diving in to Shaky Knees. Our guest this week, Beach Weather. Once a struggling band, now one of the biggest songs on the planet. How they got here, where they go next, we discuss that and more. As we traverse the festival lineup on the What Podcast, it starts right now. You're always trying to do your best. It's the What Podcast. Barry Corder, Lord Taco, and Brad. Thanks for jumping in. We are traversing the festival landscape the last couple of weeks. We talked about Merle Fest. We'll pop into some other music festivals as we go along while Bonnaroo is sort of in their selling out days. By the way, is Bonnaroo close to being sold out? Did I see that this week?
Yes. No one will comment officially, but yeah. Yeah, they're going to
really
sell out. Yeah.
Okay, good. That's big news. Do we have like a timetable on that, by the way?
No.
How close do you think they are? In your informed opinion, what do you think? How close do you think they are?
We are, around 90 days, depending on when you're hearing this? 90, 95 days, I would say.
Yeah, we're just under 100.
I'm betting within the next month or and a half anyway, which is, I don't think they'll get to like week of, which they have done in the past when they've sold out. I think it will. Festivals seem to be doing well. Last year was such a weird year, and now it seems like they're back. So,
yeah, well, I mean, we're gonna try and take some time away from the Bonnaroo landscape and talk about some other spots. We did Merle Fest last week. I wanted to start this week, though. Oh, by the way, this week we got Beach Weather on. I love these guys so much. I had one of the very first interviews that I had when I got to New York was with Beach Weather, and they came in. I mean, dress like highlighters. I mean, you couldn't miss them for the world because they were just like, they just don't care. They are in it for them. Like, they just want fun. They just want to have a blast because they've been through the ringer. And at this point in their career, they're like, everything past this is gravy.
Yeah. What a great attitude. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's funny. Highlighter. I like that. Like big glow sticks or something.
They look great. I could never pull that outfit off. But the one festival I wanted to talk about before we talk to Beach Weather and hear about their rebirth, if you will. Did you guys see this Bourbon and Beyond lineup? The Louisville Festival?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Taco, did you see it?
I saw it. I don't remember what was on it.
Okay.
I do know that I saw it.
Okay. Now I'm going to.
I know where you're going. Yeah. And I thought the other one you sent me that was it in New Orleans? That was an amazing lineup. Was that?
I don't think I sent you anything from New Orleans. Let me. I just.
Go
look,
ahead. Though.
I don't remember the Bourbon and Beyond Festival. I just don't recall this being a thing. I'm sure it has been in the past. I just. It doesn't bank in my memory, right?
So, yeah. Isn't that the one that's out at near the airport that kind of came up a year or two ago? Yeah,
it may be
the Exposition Center, which is massive. So it had a rough start, but this lineup, go ahead. I think I know where you're going.
I want to go through one of the most batshit crazy lineups I have ever seen, especially in the 5-6 years we've been doing this podcast. I don't know if I've ever seen a lineup that goes from Brandi Carlile and Train to Bruno Mars and Babyface to the Black Keys and First Aid Kit to Brittany Howard and Wayne Newton.
Yep.
What
talk about baby
the
face.
Shit is that?
Duran, it's Duran. So, that's the Beyond section, right?
It's so crazy. Yeah. I think I'm in love with it. I think I'm absolutely head over heels in love with this wackadoo thing. I mean, the only thing that's missing is like Puddle of Mud. You know, like, of all of the concoctions that they could have put together, guys, who had on their bingo card Wayne Newton in 2023?
Yeah. Man, Mavis Day, Paolo Nutini. Haven't heard that name in a good minute.
I'm stunned. And I had done nothing but talk about this for weeks. Now I know nothing about the festival. I know nothing about the experience, but who is booking this?
I don't know, but I like them.
Who in the world? This is like how me and you guys would get high one night and just say,
yeah, tell me guys, this song. Who sang guys, this song?
Is Don Ho available? Can we do Tiny Bubbles?
Yeah, Dan Kaminsky's on there. You know, the old brother guy, Constant Sorrow. I mean, it's everybody. It literally is. I think you nailed it. It's like, let's get high and see who can outdo who with the playlist.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I think I have an angle for this festival, a lane for it, as we talk about all the time, with Brandi Carlile and Brittany Howard and, you know, City and Color, Old Crow, First Aid Kit, as soon as I see that, and then all of a sudden I see Babyface, Blondie, and Bruno Mars?
I'm loving the Wayne.
What?
Because I that's who I'm going. I'm going to see Wayne Newton because I'm not going to Vegas to see him.
I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what you think about me. I am seeing, if I have the chance to see Wayne fucking Newton, I'm seeing 100%. Wayne Newton. That is nuts. Absolutely nuts.
That's so funny.
Anyway, yeah. I was floored when I saw that. And I was hoping that you had the same feeling as I did because 100%. I mean,
yeah, I mean, now I got Donka Shane in my head for the rest of the day.
I'm trying to think of another, like, that out there kind of booking. Now, Korn for Bonnaroo is a way out there sort of thing, but they're known for having at least something like that every year. They're Lionel Richie, Kenny Rogers. They have something a little out in left field this. But
Jackson, but not really. I mean, that was such a great...
Yeah,
pick.
But she was really in the pocket at the time. She had a new album. She was getting that Jack White heat. I just can't think of a more completely out of nowhere booking like Wayne Newton.
How'd you like to have been in that board meeting? Let's think outside the box. Who you got?
Yeah. I got it.
I'm bringing Wayne Newton to the
They might have asked. They might as well just ask Taco to show up. You know?
I love it.
I swear to God, I want to do anything to meet the person who first threw out the name Wayne Newton.
I love it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Is there anything else that happened this week that I might be missing? Okeechobee was over the weekend. Anything from that?
Just they had a death, right? That didn't.
They did.
Went badly. I mean, obviously, any death is badly, but there was a lot of controversy. Is that right? It kind of went undealt with, if that's the right word for some are saying maybe too long. I don't know.
I think they finally came out and made a statement.
Yeah. That's terrible. Anytime somebody dies.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not, I've been to Okeechobee once. I have mixed feelings about it because it's just so far out there and I got a speeding ticket, so I'll never really like that county. And the cop was such a jerk. I don't know. I just got a weird feeling about that. That whole space, you know, just makes me feel a little icky. I don't know. And then what was the other festival that came out? Oh, Pilgrimage. Now, okay. So I think that was the juxtaposition in which I saw this Bourbon and Beyond Festival lineup. So you have Pilgrimage come out in the morning, which it's such a clear Americana sort of festival with Lumineers, Black Crows, Zach Bryan, Thanu Ratliff, Margot Price. And then when I see Bourbon and Beyond, I totally anticipate it being something similar. So I almost just sort of zombied my way through that lineup. And then, you know, I see Brandy and then I see and Wayne Newton pops and my head just sort of spins. And I immediately think to myself, is this like some sort of like indie rock band who's just using the name Wayne Newton, or is this really Wayne Newton? And then I started looking at the rest of the lineup, and when I'm sitting here thinking I'm going to get an Americana festival, and all of a sudden I'm seeing Bruno Mars and Babyface, everything starts spinning around. But any thoughts on the pilgrimage stuff? It's going to be right up north of you, Barry, right? Outside Nashville. Have you ever been? You haven't been to this, have you?
No, I haven't been to this one. I mean, meh. I'm Wayne Newton's got me so much I can't even think about this one. It's a good lineup. I would go if it were here. I'm not sure I would, you know, travel to go.
You know, it's on Justin Timberlake's farm. You know, he owns that property.
Yeah, so it's up there in the Franklin yeah. area.
So when I think of Pilgrimage, I say to myself, yeah, but I'll just go to Moon River.
Yeah.
Right down the road in Chattanooga. Because
bigger, more bands, but similar. I would 100% agree. I mean, in fact, Nathaniel Rateliff is coming to Chattanooga this summer. So,
is he really? Yeah. Oh, good for you. Just go to Riverbend. The Riverbend lineup is even better. Right. Yeah.
It's very similar. It's kind of a mix of the two. Warren Treaty, of course, who we love. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very similar.
And then the other one that popped out was Outside Lands, which, my God, I mean, it's always so big. I've never actually been to Outside Lands because, I don't know, those West Coast festivals just become so difficult and costly. But Janelle Monáe, Maggie Rogers, Odessa, Foo Fighters, Kendrick Lamar, Noah Kahan, Cigarettes After Sex. I mean, it feels like a lighter Outside Lands festival than years past. But, you know, people really enjoy that. And I've heard people, at least close to me, say they like it more than Coachella. Which is kind of crazy. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have any experience
with either
one of them.
Anytime you can see Janelle Monáe, do it.
No
do
kidding.
It, do it. Do it.
I told the story about meeting Janelle Monáe a couple days ago, and I've got this ridiculous picture. And I swear to God, because I was so in love with her, and I felt, I felt so overwhelmed by her beauty, I sort of lost track of what I was saying to her, and I just found myself. You know how stupid I get with my great work nonsense, but I remember looking at Janelle Monáe and I was so struck by how gorgeous she was that all I could bring myself to say was, well, I think you're gonna do pretty well in this music stuff. And the label guy at that exact moment took a picture of me and her when I said that to her, and I'll never ever forget the way she looked at me. It was just like, what the fuck is this guy saying to me?
Yeah,
I felt so embarrassed.
Good luck in your career, pal.
Yeah, good luck in your music career. What are you doing? All right, enough of that. Let's get to beach weather as we traverse around some other music festivals. Shaky Knees with Beach Weather on the What Podcast. Here we go.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, hi, guys. What's happening?
Hey, good morning.
How's everybody doing? Is everybody surviving? What part of the world are you guys in?
I'm in Boston. Reeves in Nashville, yeah.
Okay. So, in Boston, have you done... what is that festival that we love in Boston, Barry?
Is it Levitate?
No, it's...
Boston Calling.
Boston Calling, that's right. Yeah. Do you like that?
I've gone to it one time, and it was fun. I just went to it as like a fan of a couple bands playing.
Sure.
We actually got an offer to do it this year, but we're going to be the day before, we're going to be all the way in San Francisco doing Bottle Rock. So we couldn't like logistically make it make sense. And then the day after we're going to be in Jersey. So we would have had to have like a sandwich. Doing a red eye flight from San Francisco to Boston and play Boston Calling and then just booting down to Jersey all in the same weekend.
But it feels like you guys have at this point, I mean, it's like the hardest working band on the planet right now, right? Like, let's just hit the gas as hard as possible right now.
Yeah, it's what it feels like a lot of the time these days. Yeah.
Yeah. And how's it been going though? I mean, the last time I saw you was here in the city. And it kind of like, I don't know, it felt like you guys had just found your footing and you're like, okay, is this how the world's going to be for a while?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, it seems like everything we've done so far, like we've gotten together every, you know, once for like a week, every last couple months. And every time we've done that, it seems like it's for some beneficial purpose, you know, like playing Jimmy Kimmel and stuff like that. So it's pretty wild.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, like pretty small town stuff, you know. So it's kind of crazy, from going from that New York trip where we were just little, you know, not really sure what was on the horizon for us, and then to go into this year just full blast. It's pretty crazy.
Are you like in a studio right now? Is that what you're doing?
Like home studio. Reef looks like he's in his little home studio.
You have one too, Reef? Is that all right?
It's just one big studio apartment, so I basically sleep in my studio. But
I am so impressed by you guys. I'm so happy for you. This has been a pretty odd journey for this band, huh?
Yeah.
Quite odd, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go.
For sure.
Doing, you know, reading about you guys and everything, you probably can answer the question as well as anyone. Tell us how you got to this point, because, I mean, it goes this way and that way, and then it goes backwards and it stops.
Yeah. Well, we started the band in 2015, and we toured it for a couple years. And then we kind of hit the point where we like sort of started losing focus on what it was going to be. So we took a little break, and I think that was our time that we all focused on our like individual personal lives, you know? Just like, okay, is music going to be the thing? If not, like what else is out there, you know? And for me personally, I was doing it for a long time, so I was ignoring that little that person that was like, "Hey, let's go home for a little bit. I want to be home and not in a van, a stinky van with a bunch of dudes." So we took that couple year break. I went off. I got married. I had a couple kids, and then just for the love of music, we all started kind of talking again. And actually, we never really stopped talking, but more so talking about Beach Weather and the future and what the plans were. And then Reeve, if you want to take over, because that was when you kind of started tapping in.
I mean, the first tours I'd ever been on was with Beach Weather, and it, you know, those first tours were pretty lucky for me, because a lot of people have to do like, you know, little bars and stuff like that. And with this band, it was like House of Blues, and then our second tour was like in Europe, and I was just like, you know, I never had to like rough it out really. So when we were on a little break, you know, I was in other bands and stuff and kind of did the, you know, I had to kind of be the leader and stuff. But it made me really appreciate what these guys were doing, you know, because he taught me how to tour, which was kind of cool to see me like do it with other people. I kind of got a grasp on how to do it. And coming back into it, I feel just a little bit more professional, you know. I don't really feel like the younger kid all the time.
What do you mean? I mean,
you know, just
people
like
have never done it. I mean, there's
doing
like different
our own
levels.
Merch and, you know, setting up,
well,
you know,
right, okay,
places.
Yeah, the level we were doing it at, yeah, was like four of us in our van, renting a van, getting a hotel every night, like setting up our merch, selling our own merch, playing the shows, you know, being the tour manager, the booking agent, the you know, travel agent, doing all of that stuff.
And he was like the rodeo king of the whole thing.
Sorry, that's why I'm kind of dialing down a little bit. It's like, I think a lot of people think it's this romantic thing, right? Where, you know, like on TV, you just show up at the next gig and you play and there's fans screaming
the
and everything.
They
don't consider the 8 hour, the, what is it, 11 hours or 23 hours in a van.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Sometimes you know? Longer. Yeah, and a lot of it is like, you know, the routing on some of those tours are routed for buses that have a driver that drive 10 hours overnight while the band gets their beauty rest. Right. And we've never had that luxury. We've always like played San Francisco and then we got to hoof it down to Los Angeles in the same night and be there in the morning. And you know what I mean? And then from LA have to drive out to Phoenix that night after the show and be there. So not complaining, we've just did it for a long time. And I think what he was saying is that when this band started, he was still so new to that world. He was lucky because we had some friends that brought us out on some our first tours that we were opening and doing House of Blues, still grinding it out in the van, but lucky enough to be playing in front of some crowds and not having to play in front of, you know, Nashville bar crowds.
I am drawn to you guys so much because I feel as though your band is like a real life experience. I always find myself gravitating towards artists who find success later in their life, or at least later in their professional life. It's sort of like I wasn't ready for this relationship as a 20-year-old, but talk to me again when I'm 35, and I'm going to be ready for you, girl. I think we got this in 15 years. And when you get later on in your life, things seem to slow down even in professionally for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've said it multiple times. If what we have with the success of Sex, Drugs, etc. happened when we were younger, like, you know, in our early 20s or whatever, when like we thought touring was all these other reasons and it really wasn't, you know, I think we would have messed the whole thing up. So I think now having a little bit more, you know, we got our asses kicked by life for a couple of years. And I think we had to be like humbled. And like I said, I have two kids now. So it's like, if there's anything that forces you to reprioritize your life, it's having a couple of kids and then, you know, showing you like what the important things are and what really aren't important. And I think that's our attitude these days is like, we only do things for this band now if we all three of us want to do it. If one person is just like, I don't know, we're like, cool, then we don't have to do it. Where before it always felt like we had to do everything. And if we didn't, we were going to get passed by the next band trying to do it, you know? And that was always the mentality. I guess the pre-COVID lockdown mentality of bands were like tour to survive. And if you don't tour, then another band's going to get that tour, at least in the alternative, like pop rock world that we came from. You know,
you just said something that I forget about all the time. The competition between bands, like I know
how
that
could you forget.
Well, you know, because
that's all it is, I feel
because
like,
sometimes you think to yourself, it's like, oh, it's artistic, and you know, audience will find you, but there really is a cap to consumption where, like, I only have so much time in the day to give you. How competitive is it really? I mean, I feel like I know, but do I really know?
Yeah. I mean, for me personally and for us, I feel like I come from the old school way of like I said, like touring and like that kind of thing, where I feel like nowadays it's like you get discovered online and on TikTok and you don't really have to do that. Even with our experience these days, it's like we're doing festivals and little one-offs and like there's really not a whole lot of emphasis on long-term touring, which we will probably do at some point. But, you know, compared to me in 2009 with my old band where I was home for 3 weeks total for the whole year. You know what I mean? Like, because that was
Jesus.
Like, if we don't go out on this tour for 2 months, then this band's going to get it. And we're just going to be sitting home all summer. So then by August, we're going to be knocked down a couple notches in terms of like how you're perceived in the scene. You know what I mean?
Can I stop
world.
You there for a second? Can I stop you for a second? Okay. Let's say you do take that job that takes you through every festival. And what's the ROI on it? Is it enough that it did matter for you to take it and not stay at home and have that band take over that spot that you would have just used all-time low, for example? Is the return on investment enough?
I guess it depends, really. I mean, I've done tours in the past where we think it's going to be the best tour ever because I'm not going to name any names, but the band that is bringing us out, you're like, oh, they want us to come out, and you go out and you learn very well why they picked your band, because they're probably not at the level that they were at, and now they're just scraping the bottom and they're like, let's bring this band that brings 20 tickets in, you know? So we've done those tours where you think it's going to be an amazing little thing and it ends up being like a soul crusher. So it's like, you think it's going to, the first time we went to the UK, like Reeve said, we were actually booked on a tour where I was supposed to be. So I was booked solo acoustic guy for like a previous project. And then when the band heard that we were making Beach Weather records and I showed them a couple songs, they were like, do you guys want to bring Beach Weather out instead? The pay isn't any different, but we would love to have Beach Weather instead of, no offense to you, but instead of your solo stuff, we'd love to have the whole band. And so we just went, hell yeah, we'll make it work. And I think we were thousands of dollars in debt. We had to like ship merch boxes back from the US that cost us like $500 a bird. Like we didn't
but we
make
were
any
in
money.
Amsterdam.
But that tour yeah. But that tour and the other like was kind of the opposite. Like we went into it thinking like shit, we were gonna lose money and we did, but we left it with fans and the next time we went back to the UK we noticed it, you know. Isn't so it's like it kind of depends on the tour. Sometimes they suck and sometimes they suck for good reasons and sometimes they suck for bad reasons. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah, so, two things. I want to ask Reeve. We cut you off and really didn't let you finish sort of the progression, if there is one, as it relate to this conversation. But Nick, it reminds me of one our interview with Paul Janoway, where he St. Paul and the Broken Bones. They were on the Rolling Stones tour.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love them.
As he tells us, he was like, it was made very, very clear. Nobody is here to see you.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Nobody.
That's how I feel about this podcast every week. Yeah,
right. I think it's written on my computer screen up here. But anyway, Reed, yeah, did you guys, along those lines, what did you learn from doing it that way? I mean, it's kind of like, sounds like, you know, you landed pretty good. I mean, you didn't hit the huge time, but you didn't have to do the, you know, six guys in a Lincoln going to the same sweaty, you know, club every
yeah.
time.
I mean... On those first tours we did with Beach Weather, it was just, you know, it still felt strenuous some days, but I know it wasn't quite as bad as other people have, you know, kind of gotten into it. And when I did the other stuff while we were kind of on a break, just like fun bands, nothing crazy, like Roadhouse Rock stuff with like me and my friends, like it was just super fun. But, you know, it was like, oh, you do have to have a credit card to, like, rent a minivan. So I'm, like, inviting another friend on tour to, like, come do that for me. And then I'm the one wrangling everyone in because mm-hmm. everyone else
I have my own credit card
never...
guy. Hang on. I got to bring my credit card guy with me.
Everybody else who, like, was coming out with me had never done this before. And I had, like, gone around the world with Beach Weather. So I found myself being the one, like, get in the van, like we gotta go.
But,
like,
yeah, but you know? what's funny about your whole story is that like your position when you were doing these tours in the gap when we were off was exactly what I was doing when
exactly
we were in Beach Weather a couple years before. I was the old grumpy man, like no more drinking, we gotta drive 4 hours, get in the van, and then they'd be all pissed because they're like, Dad, we just want to hang out with our friends, and I'm like, well, we gotta drive to Albuquerque, get in the van, you know?
Yeah,
so it's funny that you then had to experience that later on.
I know, it was just wild, like the. Some of the guys I had with me were kind of doing a little bit more hardcore kind of stuff, and I had to like really wrangle them in. Yeah. But it was like it was just I was like, dang, I really feel for like what Nick was doing because I was 21. I turned 21 the week we went on tour.
And it was like his first tour, and then for me, I was like 28, and I had been touring since 2007. You know, so like I'm a little older than him, so we've just been.
And I don't think I was too crazy, but I definitely like wanted to have.
No,
fun.
You weren't fine. You were just a kid that was the first time on the road, really away from home, and you were like seeing a sunflower field for the first time. Like, holy shit, can we pull over? You know what I mean? Like I remember doing that. And then I get to the point where I get jaded, and then that stuff pisses me off. I'm like, no, we got to get to the venue. Or he's like, oh, come on. I just want to see the Grand Canyon, you know?
Seriously, Brad, raise your hand if you thought he was going to go with Sunflower Field.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, I just sort of mean like me.
Is that a euphemism for strip club?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
No, that's like literally an example for me. Like I'm from Boston, so I remember like my first tours in 2007, like in the middle of the country, and then being blown away by like just landscapes and being like, this is nothing that I'm ever, you know, I feel like I just landed on Mars, you know, because
I
my family vacations were to New Jersey, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
Gotcha. May I just interject? I had to go to Jersey last week for the first time in my life, and I was
first
like,
time in your life.
I like that you had to go.
Well, it was a mutual friend of all of ours' birthday, and I told him the whole time I was riding the train over, I said, am I going to grow a tail? What happens when I cross this line? Do I get splotchy? Hives? It's a very strange feeling going to
Jersey's a wild place because I feel like there's all different parts. I mean, I guess any state's like that, but there's all different parts to Jersey. I feel like there's parts you can go to that feel like middle of nowhere farmland, and then there's like cliche Jersey. And
yeah, it's beautiful 90% of it, but the part that everybody knows is the most
is
disgusting
Jersey.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's the only part that we associate with Jersey. So now that you're where you are now, although you have, I'm sure, a ton of different perspective and you appreciate it more, but it never feels as though with you guys that, how can I put this? It doesn't ever feel like you guys care all that much. in the best way, right?
If I could just say, I cared for a long time and went through the ringer through the classic cliche music business drama. You know, I was signed before to a major label. I was dropped. I was put, you know, or I had a record shelved. I've kind of went through it. So I cared a lot for a long time. And I just realized that a lot of people don't care about you. So I just kind of, or at least they only care about the product that you're trying to sell. And that's it. So I just along the way became jaded guy and was just like, you know what? I only care about this band and this band's interests. And if other people align with that, then that's the way we should be doing it. You know?
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people have like the theatrics of caring to where they don't actually enjoy it themselves. You know what I mean?
And we care like, very much.
So
don't
it's like,
say
oh,
we don't
thank
care.
You so much. They never actually like sit and be like, wow, this is really cool. Which I feel like we're so thankful and grateful for every little thing.
I think now we're in like our appreciation stage where, like I said, before, if we got it before, it would have been more of the showboating stage. Like we have a number one record. We're just like, we have a number one.
Okay.
Record. Like,
yeah. I think that might be it. I never get like a peacock feeling from you guys. You know,
we just don't like to do that. You know, we feel like it'll blow it. Like if we do that, it'll jinx it.
I think you said, I think
like,
you
boasting than just falling on your face. You just look like such an idiot, you know?
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly, Nick, when you said, what did you say earlier? And basically, we don't do anything unless all three of us want to do it. And there's that clarity of the moment where you just say, yeah, this is really great, but, you know.
Sure. And we've been in previous bands and stuff where that isn't the case, where, like, communication and agreement's, like, the hardest thing. You know, you have three people from three different walks of life. Like, our guitar player, Sean, who just got double hernia surgery, so he's still in bed rest right now. He got day after our record release show. He's been putting it off for a while. But he's from, like, Brooklyn, New York, now lives in L.A., you know, Reeves in Nashville, I'm in Boston. So you get the three of us together, and we're three different personalities, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that we've really worked on with us specifically is like learning from our past bands and like communication's the number one thing that keeps you guys together. And like, if someone's having a bad day, like trying to talk about it, get on the same page, you know? And like, I don't know. I've had things blow up in the past over throwing away someone's leftover food. And then they're like, fuck you, why'd you throw? And you're like, really, is this about the spaghetti or is this about, you know, sound check yesterday? Like, we just don't let it get to that point. We try not to let it get to that point, you know? Mm-hmm.
It's never about the spaghetti.
It's never about the spaghetti. No. Yeah, that's why I call it the spaghetti incident. It's a true story.
You know, I always count on Lord Taco to come in and bring in the clarity. You know,
it's always food.
That's why he's here, man. Yep. Wordsmith. One of the things, I mean, listening to your music yesterday and reading a lot of the comments, it was almost instantaneous. One of the first comments when I was reading, listening to Sex, Drugs, etc., so many people said, this is the music I put on when I just landed at the airport coming home from college and I'm driving back at night.
That's awesome.
I was like, well, that's interesting.
That's specific, and I love that.
That's where I'm going. Yeah. It was like four or five very much similar. And when I was listening to the song, I was like, damn, that's spot on right there.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. the thing about this, and Nick and Reeve know this, but I don't know if Barry really does. In my industry, there's very few songs that we play that make it to the finish line, that get to what we call our library and our catalog. What these guys have made is one of the biggest hits that we have had in the last 3 years. I mean, this is a song that's going to last at our radio station in our format maybe forever. And
it's wild.
That often. We maybe get one of these a year. Two max.
Someone mentioned that to us the other day about it being a song that possibly lasts a long time. And we just looked at each other and we were like, that's enough. Like, we've, you know, like, when we were kids playing our guitars in our middle band, middle school bands, like, that was the goal. Like, imagine having a song, imagine playing this show, imagine meeting these people. It's like, we've accomplished that. Like, that's enough. If it all stopped tomorrow, we'd be fine and happy.
If I gotta go work at a coffee shop tomorrow,
I'm watching that show Daisy Jones and the Six right now with my wife and like I feel so aligned. At first I was like, I don't know if I want to watch that show, I'm gonna judge it too hard, I'm, you know, too close to the music. And it's like very accurate, and it feels like a lot similar to the way that our career is going off right now, where I'm just like, I don't know, it feels awesome, it feels really relatable. And, you know,
that's,
I just want to embrace
you
it
say that
it.
Yeah, I'm watching it too, this, and it's because your song connects, and that's what hit me when I was reading that. I was like, dang, that's, like you said, that's so specific.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, ah, that sounds like something the band's manager put on there, and then I saw three and four of the others, and I was listening. I was like, it connects. That's the,
I love that.
That's it.
We were kind of reminded the other day from a friend. We were doing a podcast with a friend of ours, and he brought up the point that we never even really thought about, but Sex, Drugs, Etc., before we took our hiatus, we put out that EP that had Sex, Drugs on it, and it's the last song on that EP, Chit Chat. So it's technically the last song that we released as a band before we took our break, and it was the song that brought us back from our hiatus. So it kind of feels like it might be an older song, but like looking at it through that perspective, like, yeah, that was the last single we put out. It just took a couple of years to marinate and then pop off, you know?
Can I ask a little bit about how it did come back? Who calls you and tells you that they're about to use it for something? How does it find its way back into the stratosphere?
This time around we didn't. Usually we had someone from our sync team at the time that would like send you an email like, oh, your song was used in Teen Mom on MTV. You know, we get a lot of that stuff. And and then one time we just, Reeve, I think, noticed the song was kind of trending on like our Spotify plays, like the streams were going up a little bit.
At that moment, what do you think the number was at? Because right now it's what, 350 million? What was it at the time?
It's a lot of days. every day
it's
a lot.
You know, I think at that point we had hit like 300,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. And I was like, oh my God. And like right now it's like at almost 11 million or something crazy. And I remember our manager being like, because I've been trying to get the guys like back together, kind of like
he was poking the whole time we were on a hiatus. He's like, we gotta get the band, and we're like, yeah, we're doing other things, Reeve. We'll get the band back when we're ready. And he's like, no, we really need to get the band back together.
Because
like 3 years.
I was just listening to this stuff, and I was like, dang, like, you know, it's been like 2 years now. Like, let's do it. You know what I mean? So it was like around that quarantine kind of era of stuff, and then he was like, Are you fucking buying plays right now? Or I'm like, no.
He's like, I am not that desperate. No,
I'm like that. I found that so offensive. So I had to like go online, and I was just Googling like beach weather, sex, drugs, etc. And I was trying to find what it was in. And then I finally found something. It was on the show called Control Z. And I was like, well, that explains why it's like popular in like Mexico City and Spain and all this stuff.
And all these Spanish-speaking countries.
It's a Spanish Netflix show.
It's kind of like a Euphoria. It's like a teen drama. Yeah. So it kind of worked out. And our song was in the first, I want to say, within the first 10 minutes of the pilot episode.
Yeah.
So we kind of were like, hey, if people watch the first episode, at least they're going to hear sex, drugs, you know?
Yeah. Wow. And it was like a janitor closet like hookup scene. So like all these kids are like, this song rules.
Yeah.
And then that's why it happened before TikTok and stuff. It was just kind of like naturally from a show.
Well, then from that show, we noticed on TikTok, people started to take it and add it to like shows like they would make montage clips of like Stranger Things and then like Euphoria and shows like Control Z, but they would use that song. So it was almost like they heard it in a setting and they wanted to recreate that on TikTok. So they'd make their own video clips. And then that's when TikTok took over and started to kind of make it trend up that way.
And Reeve, you're watching the streams happen in real time. Nick, are you paying any attention to it? If Reeve doesn't call you and start poking, would you have even noticed?
I wasn't paying attention. No, I was like, I mean, I think at the time it was like me and Sean, guitar player, were like throwing ideas around for the possibility one day of bringing Beach Weather back, but it was never like, we're making a record, our song is trending. You know, it was, if he didn't let me know, then I don't think I would have.
Yeah, the first time
at
I
some
saw
point
it
you,
drawing.
At some point, I would have found out. But...
And one of the guys, yeah, I was managing this tattoo shop, and one of the artists there was like, "What was that band that you toured with?" And I was like, "Oh, Beach Road." He's like, "Can you like play one of the songs?" He's like, I just want to hear it." I'm like, "All right." So I go look it up on Spotify. I'm like, "Dang, we're like kind of doing good right now."
Oh shit!
Yeah.
What did he do when you played it for him? He's like, "That's not you."
Well, a bunch of the guys were like, "This is pretty cool." And then I remember like one of like the more like tough like tattooers that worked there. He's like, "This is for freaking high school girls." And I was like, "Yeah, like that's who listens to it."
What did you make, dude?
Yeah.
Show me your song.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Once you're done putting that tattoo on that teenage girl, they're going to go listen to my song.
Yeah.
She's going to save it in her phone. Yeah.
That's great.
That is kind of crazy because I think of so weird, like Taylor Heineke is the Washington quarterback, right? And he was like doing math work, like he did math homework before they were like, "Hey, we need a quarterback this week. Can you come in?" And you're working at a tattoo parlor. Okay, so it happens, it sinks. You would have figured it out eventually though, because someone's got to pay you.
Someone's got to tell us. I hope. I mean, still waiting on those checks. But
God, I hate to hear that.
We're supposed to get paid?
Yeah.
Oh,
wait,
no.
Streams get you paid? I had no idea.
So did you guys reach back out to, you know, whatever, label, management, or did they reach back out to you and somebody said, "Hey, this is legit"? I mean, how does that even work?
Yeah, first it was like, first we had the moment of being skeptical. We're all like, this is like a bot farm that's just trolling us. Like something's happening.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the plays were being played in like, you know, other countries that weren't the United States. So we're just like, why is
like
Portugal
Turkey
playing this song so much? You know, like places like Turkey. Yeah. Like, why are they so into sex, drugs, etc. right now? You know, like someone's playing a trick on us. Like, because that's just how, I don't know. I guess we've just been traumatized by the music business.
We've
in the
been
past,
getting our
so
ass
now,
beat in the last.
Yeah,
years
so now we
that
just doubt everybody.
Yeah,
like
we were big in North Korea for a minute. I
yeah,
understand.
Exactly.
I was fascinated by
so
that.
So we just sort of had this mindset that people were like messing with us for a while. Like you're not, it's not real, you know. And then I think we just started like once we realized like, okay, this is actually happening. It made the excitement kind of come up a little bit more, and we were like, all right, let's. Those demos that we had recorded or started writing, like, let's take those a little more seriously, see what we can do with these. So it turned into making a record. And then not too long, we were just going to put out – we made a record in June 21, and we were going to release it in September. And then shortly after that, Arista Records, this record label, hit us up, and they were like, "We're really interested. You know, we see the song, blah, blah, blah." And then when we told them we had a new record, they were like, "Even you guys are coming back. It's not just the song. Like, you have new stuff." And they were more excited about that. So it kind of worked out timing-wise. So we just put a hold on the record, and it just came out, last Friday, you know?
And I bet now, with having this bank of success, it frees you up and gives you so much more flexibility going forward. Do you write a little lighter now?
Yeah, it's nice. We can just kind of write at our own pace. If nothing's like pushed, like with especially doing like we don't have anything until the end of the month. We have to go to the iHeartRadio Awards that we're nominated for something. It's like if you told us that a year ago, we wouldn't have believed you. If you told us a month ago, we wouldn't have believed you, you know. And then the next thing we're doing is like a handful of festivals in May. It's like if you were to told touring me in 2009 that this would be the way that it's going to be, I wouldn't have believed you either, you know.
Yeah. Do you have one in particular? One of them, Shaky Knees. Do you have one in particular that you actually know of that you are excited about that you've been to?
Shaky Knees, Hangout. These are all festivals
I've never been to any
afford
of them, so.
Before. Like I couldn't afford to go, but now I get to play at them, so that's pretty cool. Yeah.
I mean, you guys, that song at Hangout is almost tailor made for that space.
I can't wait, last night. I was like, "Oh shit, when we get to that song, like it hasn't clicked yet, you know? Like when we get to that song at these festivals, it might go crazy."
Yeah.
it's pretty wild.
You're not doing Bonnaroo, but when I was listening yesterday, I was thinking, what a perfect song for that person who's driving 10 to 13 hours.
Yeah, right.
You're not going to hit it when you start out, and I'm not sure it's the song you want where you're loading in. It's the song when you like hit midnight and you still got a ways to go. That's the song, and that you guys are the band that I would want to be listening to at 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning. You know,
I love that.
I hope we get that.
I thought about that hard yesterday.
I mean, yeah, especially being in Nashville. I mean, you got to be pretty well accustomed to Bonnaroo life, don't you?
I like I said, I've never been able to afford like going to a festival, so you know.
But you've been to Amsterdam.
Yeah. Yeah, but we've been to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're gonna, if you want to go to Bonnaroo this year, I think. Yeah, sure.
we shared a bed, so it wasn't that luxurious.
I think that if you want to go to Bonnaroo this year, I think that you're gonna be able to go. I think that you'll easily be able
to go this year if we're not doing anything for sure.
So tell me about the new album.
Yeah, we wrote it. We finished it 21, and it's taken a second to put out, but I think it was worth the wait. If anything, yeah. I think it fits better now in 2023 than it does in 2021. And it makes more sense to us, like sitting with it for a little while and kind of now we got to sit with it. But I mean, it's a fun record. I think it's the best thing that we've made musically as this band. And I love it. I think it has a lot of themes that are very relatable, like how you were saying, even just the way sex, drugs, like sounds and the lyrics are. How people can connect to like late night drives. Like, I feel like all of our songs kind of have those different, you know, things that people can go like, oh, I like listening to this song when I'm, you know, driving or whatever. I think they all have, there's like a nice theme throughout the whole record.
I like the idea that you said that you sat with it because normally, you know, time doesn't wear well. Right. You know, if sitting with it for a long period of time, I'm surprised you didn't tinker and have the urge to pick and, prod at. Yeah.
The thing was mastered, I think, in September of 2021. So, like, we never opened it back up. We were just like, put it in a little archive, and when it's ready to come out, we're going to release it, you know? So even hearing it on Spotify now, it just sounds so different to me because it, like, feels legit, you know, because I'm listening to it on Spotify, not my iCloud folder or something on my phone like I have been for the last 2 years. Yeah,
it's so funny to hear you guys talk about like going to this awards thing where you said a month ago you would have never believed it.
Yeah,
what does that do to your psyche going forward? Do you now
Consequence Podcast,
you
know, Network,
you have a piece of paper that said here's what I'd like to do? I mean, you mentioned doing festivals and a Bonnaroo.
Yeah,
but do you, I mean, is,
yeah, what are the goals?
Can you even think that way now?
I think we've just kind of not been expecting anything, and we've been having this very natural, you know, flow of things, and we don't want to ask because we feel like, you know, if something's meant to happen, it's going to happen. We haven't been forcing a thing.
Yeah,
and that's been boding pretty well for us right now. So.
Yeah,
and I think once you create the want for more things, it starts
you get disappointed.
A little,
yeah, we've been disappointed a lot in the past. So by things like, you know, false expectations and stuff.
I
like
keep
that.
Trying to tell my wife she should live that way.
Yeah, it's not
she
easy.
Ain't buying it.
Well, that's why you're in the basement, Barry.
That's why.
We just like kind of changed our attitude around things. Like now we sort of look at like the yin and yang of everything. Like. We played this amazing show. It was our first time ever playing in an arena in LA in January for Alter Ego, like a big iHeartRadio show. And it was pouring the whole week, like dumping, like soaking wet for the whole week. And we were just like, we're playing an arena. We can't get mad about the weather. Like, so everything about what we do now is like, whenever there's like a speed bump or, you know, a roadblock or something, we're not like, ah, shit, why did this happen to us? We're like, we got a great thing going. If this is
that's
the one thing that's going to set
base.
Us off.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you do.
We sort of have just been like, I don't know, we like this idea of like leaving it up to the universe to surprise us, you know, and then we'll never be disappointed. So
That's why I keep coming back to this, you know, finding success later in your life. I just don't know of a band that's out right now that is as content as you guys.
Yeah, we love it. Because this is what we've always wanted to do. There's nothing else we want to do. So
the couple
it's
years
working out.
Before this, I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? Like
that tattoo shop that he worked at got destroyed in a tornado right before
no.
this record took off.
Oh,
that's
wait, is
the,
that
the ultimate irony for me is like his job, his life came crumbling down in Nashville, and then the next day pretty much like
is that the same tornado that took
off.
That took what's the music at the exit
basement
in?
East or yeah
basement
the
east yeah, yeah basement yeah. east yeah. Oh my
yeah,
god
so you know it was like our friend's birthday that night, and then we were all like kind of high eating burritos like at like 2 a.m. and then my friend calls me and he's like, dude, the tattoo shop is gone. So I drove my truck down there and it was flattened out, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. I was kind of comfortable and like content working there, and you know, they were going to open another location and I was possibly going to like move to New York for like this new location. I was like, this is kind of a cool life. I don't know, I might do like my little experimental music and work at a tattoo shop, and like that's cool with me. But it like took that thing out, and then the owner got really sick and ended up passing away, and I never got any sort of like unemployment or anything because he couldn't help me prove that. So I just started like shampooing women's heads at a salon, and like there was a bar that was like still open, and I like did a bouncer job there, and I was doing Uber Eats, and then like all at the same time.
Oh, man. Then
once this music started popping off, I was like, I kind of just saw like this light at the end of the tunnel, and that's when I start hitting them up a lot. I was like, yo,
look, I've said this forever and ever and ever. I just don't think that anybody with a trust fund can write a great song. Mm-mm. You have to struggle. You have to go through some of this stuff to appreciate and find that spot where the struggle turns into a song and turns into art, and then hopefully success. That story in and of itself is, I hate that you went through it. I really do. Yeah. But boy.
We all went through heavy shit. Like, I know, I don't know what he wants to share of it, but like Nick has gone through his own things too. And I think we all just coming back into this, it's like all the
We don't want
problems.
To live through that anymore. Yeah. We want everything to be the best that we can be.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Like there was a couple months ago, him and Sean kind of got in a little tiff on a phone call, and it was squashed the next day. Where like, they're now giggly laughing, love you bro, like all that stuff. It's like, that's the way it should be handled. You should be able to be in a band with your brothers and act like they're your brothers, and if you guys argue and you fight, you can argue and fight, but as long as you get over it the next day and it doesn't ruin what we're doing, that's the way we got to do it, you know. And I think that's just why we're so level-headed about it, and we're like, if we don't win this award, fuck it, at least we were nominated. It's crazy that we were even invited, that they let us in the door, you know. So
Reeve, did you give him the hernia?
You gave Sean the hernia. All that stress.
Yeah, stressing the hell out. Yeah,
he's always stressed. If Sean was right here, you would go, "Oh, this guy's naturally stressed all the time."
Yeah. Well, you've
gotta be.
Yeah. That's, well,
it's Russ for us. Look at him.
Yeah, look at him. He's over there stressing.
He always stays medium, man. He always stays medium.
Extra medium.
Yeah, guys, I'm such a big fan. I love you guys as people. By the way, also, thanks for wearing the gray and the black today, because I don't think I've ever seen you in any anything other than fluorescence, ever.
Yeah, we're usually pretty dressed to the nines. Yeah, I got my golf clothes on. I'm hitting nine with my dad today. So,
are you you're playing golf today?
Yeah, we're going golf. We like to. It's Boston. You know what do we got? 41 degrees. It should be 48 right now. It should be 48 by one. We'll be okay.
I mean, Nick, if you ever want to come down to Brooklyn, we'll swing some sticks.
Do you golf? I'd be happy to.
Okay. It's funny.
Maybe
I don't
can sniff out a Top Golf or something.
I don't like telling people that I play golf, because the insinuation of white dude who plays golf is just so bad, you know? And I hate golf culture. I hate golf dudes. I don't like the guy who's standing behind me in Target who's practicing his golf swing in the air.
I practice my swing in the kitchen all the time. Yeah. My wife's always giving me shit.
Someone catches me golfing, be like, "You freaking fascist!"
Yes, exactly. Where's your Trump hat?
I don't know what he's talking about, Nick. He and I played two or three times a year till he moved.
I know that I love it, but I don't like telling anybody that I love it.
There's a new wave of culture around golf, I think, that's coming up. There's people like, there's this company called Random Golf Club, and they're trying to make it like kind of cooler and take away all of the cliche-ness of golf out of it. This hat is from a company called Bob Does Sports. They're like YouTube golfers, but I think they're bringing golf to like a new generation of people, and not just the old grumpy like white guy culture. You know what I mean? I'm seeing a lot of people that are on the course it's how it should be. It's fun. It's a stress reliever. It's meditation.
Play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we play it when ready. I mean, it's, you know, we're just there
to bust each other balls. We just want to sit there and screw with each other.
My dad's my golf partner, you know, so him and I go fight with each other on one hole, and then we're high fiving on the next,
buzz.
You know? Yeah, it's awesome.
Also,
the best thing about playing with Brad is the guy that hits right behind Brad is awesome.
Yeah, he's really good.
Which
very,
is what
very
I
good.
Always tease you yeah, about, that first shot he hits sucks, and then he nails the second
I mean,
one.
I take 160 strokes, but 80 of them are really good.
Yeah, that's great. As long as 80 are good.
Yeah.
That's
right. So, how close are you to Lord Hobo? By the way, I'm sorry to take this in a completely different direction.
What's
you
Lord
anywhere
Hobo?
Oh, it's one of the best breweries in the entire Northeast.
Oh, I
found Yeah, there's this great IPA. One of the best IPAs I've ever tasted in my life is called Boom Sauce. And I found it in Jersey.
Okay.
I found it in Jersey. My trip to Jersey that I grew a tail. I found the great Boston IPA, and it's called Boom Sauce. So I've been trying to get...
I've seen Boom Sauce. I didn't know the name of the brewery.
Yeah, it's Lord Hobo. Not Lord Taco, but Lord Hobo. Which, by the way, Lord Taco and Lord Hobo, very similar people. Man, I love you guys so much, and I hope to see you guys again soon. And next time you're in the city, please reach out.
Yeah, we'd love that. Yes, thanks for your time.
I'm excited for the album, and thanks for giving us one of the great songs the format and radio has had in a very long time. Honestly, Barry, the last one that we've had was probably Heat Waves. It's probably Glass Animals.
Glass Animals. That's great. Oh, yeah. That's a great company to be in. And thanks for changing our lives. I mean, you guys are they're responsible for changing
Spanish,
everything.
Spanish TV apparently changed your life.
Spanish TV. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
It's not you.
Telemundo.
Thank you, Telemundo. Telenovela. Telenovela changing everybody's life. Guys, we'll see you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right, thank you so much.
Incredible guys. I just love them so much. The kids of Beach Weather, Nick and Reeve. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I do, because I really have a fondness for them. They're fantastic people.
They were great. So nice. And I really do. That music to me, man, when I heard it, it was like, this is great late night travel music. So it's funny to have that connection with them.
Which, Taco, don't you find it funny that Barry knows anything about late night travel, since he's never done it? He has never once gotten in a car in the dark.
He's home by 5 p.m.
If I imagine what it'd be like.
All right, there you go. All right, we'll see you again next week on the What Podcast. Love you, bye.